Selection Sunday in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center, much more somber than celebratory, but Ohio State is the number two seed. They are heading to the Cotton Bowl. They are going to play either Texas A&M or Miami, and we're going to have a lot more snap judgments throughout this month of December getting ready for it. Welcome to this day after the Big Ten Championship version. That's Jeremy Birmingham. I am Austin Ward. Far more questions about what happened in 13-10 on Saturday night at Lucas Oil Stadium than getting ready for the Cotton Bowl, which I think you can understand.
Yeah, I mean, you don't know who you're going to play. It's not a lot of conversation about Miami and Texas A&M now. And ultimately, I thought Ryan Day handled the press conference fine today. He's not making excuses. He regularly gave credit to Indiana while saying, and saying rightfully so, Ohio State didn't play their best, and they're going to try to figure out what exactly happened. I think the thing that people are going to ask the most about is the conversation around Brian Hartline and the role that people are playing from here to December 31st when it comes to game planning, when it comes to play calling. Ryan Day reiterated that Brian Hartline was the one calling all the plays on Saturday night against Indiana. It's up to you to believe it, I guess. But it's certainly, and then he always provides the asterisk. Like,
what benefit would there be to tell the truth about that?
I don't know. I mean, but the asterisk obviously comes in that him and everyone else has input into what's going on. And it's one of those postmortems of a game that you're like, I don't know what to make of that because it was so out of character for what this team has been all year long. And it was so bad that you're like, I don't know what to make of that. The question is, how do they bounce back? Ryan Day reiterated again, this team is pissed off. They weren't happy. He said he didn't sleep very well, sick to his stomach, saying all the right things. And again, we have the proof of concept in here about how this team can bounce back from a disappointing loss because they did do it a year ago. But it's also a reminder that Ryan Day said over and over, this team is different than last year's team. So now you got to see how this team responds to that loss.
Yeah, that's the challenge for them. They have no choice. They know what the path is ahead of them. They do know which of those two teams they will play on December 31st on New Year's Eve. Some of this stuff, when it comes to just a confounding offensive game plan and execution on Saturday night, Berm, like, we know and have been told, and Ryan Day has now said it publicly for the world to hear, that Brian Hartline is the one that's calling the plays. But we have this conversation a lot, and it's not just semantics. The offensive staff collectively, which includes Ryan Day, puts together this game plan, and they agree on how they're going to approach this game. So it's not pointing fingers in one direction or, well, this has Ryan Day's fingerprints all over it. Like, of course he's involved in it. And the way that everything worked last week was out of Ohio State's routine. That includes Brian Hartline as he's interviewing and taking the USF job and then starting to build a recruiting class and build a coaching staff at South Florida. We know that that's challenging. We've talked about that throughout the week. I thought that maybe they'd be able to handle it because of the infrastructure in place. But at the same time, Ryan Day is also involved in offensive game planning and some of the help that he could give to Brian Hartline or to Keenan Bailey or Carlos Lachlan or Tyler Bowen was stretched thin because of what was going on with National Signing Day. It's not making an excuse for Ohio State to lose the game. That's their job to manage those things and put the Buckeyes in position to win the game against Indiana, which, quite simply, they did not win, and they did not look as prepared as they have in any other game.
No, but they were in position to win it. They just didn't finish it. So they just didn't execute it, and the question is why. And that's ultimately the question everyone in this building is trying to figure out today. I asked him, you know, is there a common thread in the losses that you've had? It's crazy when you're covering a team where you can like remember every loss they've ever had because it happens so infrequently. And I think that it's clear that the losses that the Buckeyes have had, with maybe the exception of the Georgia loss in 2022, where, you know, you're playing a historically great team in Georgia and you are losing players left and right throughout the game, including your best player in Marvin Harrison and all of the things that go on. But even in that game, it came down to a very similar set of circumstances, which is it's, you get the ball in a winning position and you don't advance it. Ohio State was in a position with 3 minutes to go on Saturday night at the 9-yard line. And all you have to do is get a first down you have third and one and you can't get one. If Ohio State gets a third and one with 3 minutes to go, they run the clock out of that game and win it.
Or at worst,
you go to overtime.
But I guess we can't assume that because they had a chip shot.
The pressure might have been on Indiana at that point as opposed to Ohio State, I guess.
Sure.
But it doesn't really matter. And you know, I don't want to feel hypocritical because I said it throughout the week a number of times. Yes, you want to win the game. Every game you play to win the game. But last night did not matter in the big picture of this season. It does matter, however, in the infrastructure and psychology and mood of this building. And I think that's ultimately why I said yesterday in the pregame keys, like, if you lose, the problem is not that you lost. The problem is, what does it do in the building? The problem is, what does it do for people who are wondering, okay, has this team been on the brink all year of having a collapse? And I don't think they have been, but I can understand why the national narrative might be like, Ohio State never got tested. And then they got tested and they choked. I don't think they choked. I think they just didn't play very well. And why that is what they're going to have to figure out from now until December 31st.
Part of the reason for that is that they played the number one seed in the college football playoff. It was a number one versus number two game. You said in whatever that ESPN game quality metric was, that this is one of the best games in college football history. And it wound up being a three-point game decided in the fourth quarter at a neutral site in an electric atmosphere. And Ohio State easily could have won that game. As Ryan Day said, you turn those two possessions, which were highly effective until they got into the red zone in terms of time of possession, number of third down conversions, run game, pass game, everything was working until they got down there and bogged, as we've seen a number of times. Those were the drives that they've executed all year long, and they've put themselves in a position to win those games. And Ryan Day said, well, it could have been 24-13.
It could have been 31-13. Yeah. I mean, there were three possessions inside of the 10.
But it wasn't. And so I think that what happened a year ago at this exact time, with Ohio State having conversations, preparing for the college football playoff, getting ready for Tennessee, the aftermath of what happened in the rivalry loss was that they could not, and the same was true at Oregon, but much more clearly after they lost to Michigan, deny. Ryan Day says the issues are always there, whether you win or lose. When you lose, it's different. Mm-hmm. You can't deny it. You can't justify it. You can't write it off, and you have to own it. So what Ryan Day, I think, is hoping for, what the captains of this team have to demand and expect, is that you take that same approach. Whatever it was that they were not executing, which was pass defense, there was actually a way that you could look at the silver bullets despite giving up 13 points and say that that wasn't quite to their standard. Offensive line, game planning, we're not going to exclude the coaching staff in any way, shape, or form for what happened. Yeah. And then special teams, like, all of those issues are clearly at the forefront now. And you have, you know, 3.5 weeks to get ready for that on New Year's Eve. And, you know, if this team responds, which there's no guarantee that they will, the same way that the 24 team did, that's, I think everyone is expecting that around the country now, because they saw Ohio State come up short. But guess who's still favored to win the national championship with a draw that starts with Texas A&M or Miami in the Cotton Bowl, and then potentially Georgia or Ole Miss in the Fiesta Bowl. And then, who knows, maybe a rematch with Indiana down the road. If the Buckeyes got that chance, I can understand why people are like, you know what? They're probably not going to play their worst game again.
It would seem unlikely. Again, you don't want to take away any credit from Indiana. They played a great game. They had a great game plan. They were clean. They were aggressive. They were fast. They were angry. I watched Ohio State walk off the field after that game last night, and there was only one player I saw walk into the locker room and not participate in Carmen, Ohio. And that, to me, is a sign of how this team is already mentally prepared for what is to come. They were obviously pissed off. They were obviously frustrated that they did not play very well. But there was nobody throwing helmets. There were no tears. It was, okay, the next mission is here. And that's what Ryan Day said on Sunday. Like, you wake up today, you get the next mission, you move on. And we can certainly parse through this Indiana game, and we're gonna, especially on the beat with Zach Bourne on Monday, and with the live show at Roosters with Bobby Carpenter and Justin Zwick on Monday, and all through the next couple weeks. But until you find out exactly who that mission is against with Texas A&M or Miami, everything is about what Ohio State is doing for Ohio State, not about how you prepare for those teams. So Ryan Day said this next coming week, they're going to kind of take it easy, but it's not a bye week. This is a rest and recovery week and a preparation week for the team. And ultimately, I think the biggest question will still be, how does Brian Hartline handle the split responsibilities? Because there was a lot of people, I think, after the game on Saturday night, who were like, well, just get rid of him now. Let him ride off. Brian Hartline has given his life to Ohio State. And I know that people can have their opinions about him and how this has went down and the timing of it all. Brian Hartline does not want to leave Ohio State on back-to-back losses. Brian Hartline does not want to leave Ohio State without another national championship. I promise you that. And so how he handles these next few weeks are going to be really pivotal. He's going to be in Florida this week, building his staff, doing all of the things that he needs to do there. But Ryan Day said when he gets back here, he's dialed into Ohio State. And so I guess we'll find out if that's the case. I just think last week, we don't have to make excuses for this coaching staff. They did not do a good enough job preparing this team. Why that is, that's whatever. There's myriad reasons. The Big Ten, I swear, needs to do something about the Ohio State-Michigan game. It can't be the last week of the season if Ohio State has to play the next week every time. I just don't buy it. It's time to move that game. And maybe I'm just being reactionary, but when Ohio State has to play Michigan and Indiana has to play Purdue, I promise you, the way you go into that next game is different. And I don't know. I'm just spitball. Also, conference championship games,
they
could get out.
Yeah, they don't
tie-in games, get out. All of these things.
They don't have to move the rivalry games. They need to probably eliminate conference championship games because, well, Indiana got a great moment, mm-hmm. and Ohio State wanted that moment too. They wanted to win a trophy. But what did it ultimately change? They flipped Indiana to number one, and Ohio State dropped to number
two. Georgia didn't get rewarded for winning their conference. Alabama didn't get penalized for losing theirs. Ohio State didn't get penalized for losing theirs. Like, what is the value of these games other than just a money grab for Dr. Pepper and for the schools themselves? So, like, you conference tie-ins to the bowl games, get out. They're pointless.
Especially in this world where the coaching carousel and National Signing Day is all spinning at the highest velocity in the first week of December. Again, that's going to sound like excuse making. I'm not doing that for them. That is their job. They are all very highly compensated to do it, and they understand that this time of year is what is going to be required of teams that want to win championships. Yeah. They know that they fell flat, and there's no excuse for it, even if Indiana is a really tremendous football team and the number one seed in the college football playoff. Ohio State lost that game, in my opinion, more than Indiana won it, and that falls ultimately on the coaching staff. And so they're Ryan Day's not running from that. He didn't make excuses. He didn't talk about the holding calls. He didn't say, well, Brian Hartline was the one calling the plays. That's why the red zone broke down. Like, he's looped into that. Nobody is denying that it happened. But, they can't change it at this point. What they can control now is getting back healthy throughout this week, building a plan so that while Texas A&M and Miami are preparing for a really physical game the following week, that they are not lagging behind. We saw what teams that had a first-round bye did last year in the college football playoff and how sluggish some of those teams looked and the results of those games. So Ohio State now has to adjust. They have to put on that film. They have to get back on the practice field, and everyone has to be just the same as a year ago, honest about what happened against Indiana so that it doesn't happen against the Aggies or the Hurricanes.
Yeah, because the reality is everything that you are playing for is still there. And maybe you now have one goal checked off, one goal crossed off that you can't reach, but it doesn't mean
they're ahead of where they were a year ago.
They certainly are. And, I know that the fan base is really pissed off, and they should be, because last night was an absolute aberration. But I hope that people are able to see, like, the world of college football is changing. And so when we're talking about getting rid of conference championship games or getting rid of bowl tie-ins, like, this is all inevitable. The 16-team playoff is coming. It's going to happen. It is inevitable. So let's just get there, because all of these changes and the trickle, like the drip, drop, that is stupid. Like, the game is changing. We have to be able to adjust, because, yes, these coaches are well compensated. Yes, everything is happening all at once, but there's only eight teams that had to deal with that last week, and it's not fair. I mean, but again, I'm not making excuses for the loss. It's just not fair.
Also, pressure is a privilege.
Pressure makes diamonds. But you can have pressure to win the game without all the other stuff happening at the same time, because you're playing in the number one versus number two game in the country, and you shouldn't have to also be jumping through hula hoops that are on fire while also trying to avoid giant boulders being thrown at you from a giant primate on top of a building who's trying to, like, kill you as you try to rescue the princess. You know, like, I just think that there's just too much going on.
DJ Yoshi.
And I don't feel, I'm not making excuses. That team last night was not prepared. That's on Ryan Day. He knows it. But he also, I think, at his heart would be like, what are we supposed to do in this situation? And so,
I guess what he's supposed to do from here on out is just to go win the whole damn thing like he did a year ago. We know that path ahead of Ohio State now. December 31st, folks, make those New Year's Eve plans. The Buckeyes are going back to the Cotton Bowl yet again.
It's a beautiful venue. If you've never been there.
How haven't you? They go every year.
I recommend, if you can swing it, you should do it. It's a beautiful trip. Jerry World is awesome. Pack a winter coat. Like, I think it's last year the weather in Dallas was worse than the weather in Indianapolis last night. So,
Did you forget about the ice storm that took us 6 hours to get back to
Minnesota? I didn't forget about it.
Okay.
So just be advised. Dallas is not a trip that you make because it's a sunny vacation at this time of year, but I think you should go if you can go. It's a really great time. And I know that everyone's disappointed in the way last night went, but this team and Ryan Day and these coaches still warrant that support. And it was the support of the Ohio State fan base that helped push them through last season to win a national championship. So just because they're not going to be undefeated doesn't mean the national championship's going to taste any less sweet.
That's Dallas, and that's Snap Judgments. Thanks for joining us on Selection Sunday in here at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center. We'll be back with the Boren Blitz to kick off Monday on the beat, and we will be at Roosters for a conversation brought to you by Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems and Tansky Power Sports on Monday, and then a full week of coverage after that. No Heisman plans, had to scrap those. No awards coverage really throughout this week, but I bet there's going to be plenty for us to talk about.
There will
about.
Be awards. Caleb Downs is
Downs is already on the road. Yeah. Collecting hardware right
Caden
now.
Caden McDonald should still win the whatever
Outland.
That one is.
Yeah. He should. We'll see. But we'll have a lot to talk about as we always do. And then we'll start breaking down what's next for Ohio State when it comes to the Cotton Bowl as the picture becomes clearer here with this practice schedule for Ohio State. But that's it for now. He's Berm. I am Austin. These have been Snappy Jays on 97.1 The Fan and 10 TV. We'll talk to you tomorrow.